Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And of course, afterwards, we're going to have Pastor Risnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will be with us at 2. So hope you'll stick with us for that as well. I know he'll be a blessing to you and encouragement. He always is. I like listening to him. I usually have enough time to leave the studio and get into the car and turn him on as I'm heading out of the parking lot. So he's always a blessing there. And hope you had a chance to listen to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour. Always a blessing as well. And encouraging there. Of course, he's a pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and certainly appreciate his ministry there and certainly friendship with both these men, Pastor Lutz and Pastor Risnacko. And somehow or another, the thorn between the roses, I guess I'm here in the middle between them. And of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can listen to past programs, and you can listen to a variety of things all at livewithpastoral.com. I was going to say, I think I'm up to date as of, I'm just scrolling through my thing here, as of last Sunday, I believe, the 19th of May, on our programs, and of course, last Friday. And last Sunday, in case you're not familiar, we have a Sunday night program every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And that's broken up into 2 hours, the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. You can hear both of those. Those are on there as hour one and hour two on our website at livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, as I said, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we meet at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. Don't look for a building with a steeple. You won't find us that way. Look for Suite 200 in the commercial strip at 4174 Wheatley Road, and look for our door, and that's Suite 200. And that's basically, it is at the corner of Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road, right near where Interstate 271 and 77 cross, midway between Akron and Cleveland. And let me invite you to our Bible study tonight. We have an informal Bible study every Friday night, starts at 7 o'clock, runs till 9. Some people sometimes have to leave before then. That's okay. It's an informal study where you bring your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and we have some refreshments and things there. And it's a good time of fellowship on a Friday night where we spend a couple hours just looking at God's Word and making sense of the world around us, using God's Word to help make sense of the world around us. And that's at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church tonight at 7 o'clock until 9, our informal weekly Bible study. And then, of course, our services on Sunday. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I am currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock in our evening service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so I like preaching through books. It keeps me in line. It keeps me from going off on too many tangents. And it also helps me preach the whole counsel of God. As I've said before, church, on going through the book of Proverbs, there's a lot in Proverbs that I probably would not get to. I would probably be looking at it and saying, well, I'll get to this verse another time. I'll get to this passage another time. But because I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, I've got to get every verse and hit every verse as I go through it. So we'd love to have you come on out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also, a number of articles there that I've written, and some other links, some other materials there, some some word searches and things like that that we have available that my daughter and I have put together. And so you can find all that at liveatpastoral.com. All right. Well, I want to get to something here today. And I was listening to something. Actually, when I was coming into the studio on Sunday night, coming into the studio, I was listening on the radio and heard that they had a report of the helicopter containing the president of Iran, who had gone down, the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi. And it was all still kind of up in the air. They had reports that a drone that Turkey sent out looking had identified wreckage. It looked consistent with being a helicopter. And then, of course, as they began searching, and eventually people got in on foot in a remote, rugged area, and they found that, yes, indeed, that the helicopter bearing Iranian President Raisi had gone down. And there were no survivors. He died along with several other people. And there's been a lot of speculation. And the thing that's really kind of interesting, just looking at it from a geopolitical standpoint, I guess, is that I thought for sure Iran would come out and blame Israel. That they would certainly, whether they knew it was Israel or not, or suspected it was Israel or not, that they would blame Israel right away. And the fact that they haven't made a big deal trying to blame Israel for this makes you kind of wonder, could the Ayatollah Khomeini maybe have had something to do with it? And there's some speculation there and all of that. But I thought of something else, and I was intrigued when I found an article online, and the article raised the question, was President Raisi's death an act of God? And I thought of that, and it reflected some things that I had been thinking about, and as I read the article, it actually went down the same path that I had considered with a couple of things. And I guess by way of looking at this, let me take a look at something that we find in the book of Daniel. And this is a familiar passage here in the book of Daniel. And let me just read through this here in Daniel chapter 5. It says in verse 1, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines, or that the king and his wives and princes and wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his knees were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. In other words, his knees were knocking together. He became so frightened. And it continues in verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation, there shall be clothed with scarlet, shall have a chain of gold about his neck, shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men. They could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed, and him and his lords were astonied. And astonied is a good good old English word that the King James uses, that modern version is a shoe. There's another good old English word that the King James uses, a shoe, meaning to avoid, in a sense, almost with prejudice, you know, like avoid like the plague. And astonied, it's not a misspelling or an alternate spelling of astonished. it's astonied, which literally means like a stone. He became like a stone, meaning they were just like, they were like frozen. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do or say or move. And so it says in verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father light and understanding wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit of knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and showing hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now let me drop down here real quick for time's sake. And Daniel is summoned. Daniel comes in. And Daniel addresses the king, and he says this, and let me drop down to verse 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took away his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. So Daniel is reminded Belteshazzar what had happened to his father Nebuchadnezzar. You can read that in chapter 4, which we don't have time to get into here today, but Nebuchadnezzar was a man who he lifted up, and basically he looked at him, all his kingdom and all he had done, he looked and he did it in his own power, and is what he was saying, and God pronounced judgment on him, and he lost his mind. He lived like an animal, I think it was 7 years. And then when his mind was restored to him, he humbled himself before God, and he recognized the God of the Bible as the only true God. I think we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. So Belshazzar is now put into a position where he has taken the vessels that were used, dedicated to the service of the Lord, to be used in the temple, and he's profaning them, having an orgy, a party, a drunken feast, celebrating false gods. And so Daniel is trying to warn Belshazzar that just like your king was lifted up with pride and God judged him, God is likely to do that to you as well, or is doing that to you as well. And the thing is, Nebuchadnezzar, he responded and he humbled himself before God and recognized God. But here's the problem with Belshazzar. He says this in verse 22, Daniel continues, and thou, his son Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose all are all the ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, this is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, Perez, and that's a variation on Upharsin and the tense there, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made him a proclamation concerning him, and he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And then it says this in verse 30, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." And that would be about 62 years old. "And that night," he says, "that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain." Why? Because he had defied God. And God reached a point where God reached down and he caused the death of Belshazzar. Well, here's what happened in Iran. We have a guy there who had the nickname the Butcher of Tehran. And a month or so ago, back on April 23rd, he threatened Israel with annihilation. He was in Pakistan, I believe, at the time, referring to Israel as a Zionist regime whose destruction he promised if they would dare attack Iran. And this individual, who had been the son-in-law of a prominent imam, became Iran's eighth president in 2021. And he rose to be the country's president when appointed by the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. And, of course, that's one of the Ayatollahs. Remember, it's a theocracy in Iran. The Ayatollahs are ultimately in charge. And he earned the reputation, the Butcher of Tehran, because he was responsible for the execution of thousands of political prisoners who were accused, and he was accused of crimes against humanity by international human rights organizations and the United Nations special agents there. And so this guy was a hardliner. A hardliner of the hardliners in Iran. And there was some suspicion or concern that's been voiced on the part of some in Iran that he may have been trying to rival the power of the Ayatollah as a supreme leader of Iran. But the Israeli Defense Forces Intelligence Chief Major General Tamir Heyman commented about hearing about his demise. He said it would be hard to find somebody worse than this guy. That's the reputation that he had. It wasn't just in April that Raisi threatened Israel's existence. He said the same thing back in May of last year when he warned Israel not to launch a direct military strike in his country, which would be overwhelmed and destroyed by Iran's immediate response. And he always referred to Israel the Zionist regime. And did everything that he could to smear the Jewish homeland as an entity that had no right to exist. And this is the idea here, that he was committed to the destruction of Israel. And remember, in Iran, they call for the destruction of the great Satan, which is the United States, and the destruction of the little Satan, which is Israel. And you need to remember, in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, God warns about the those that touch the apple of his eye. And he warned it is, and in that passage, he referred to Israel as the apple of his eye. Apple of his eye was a Hebrew phrase referring to the pupil being the center, the most sensitive part of the eye. And it also carries the idea that it's something that God has his eye on, upon what he watches very closely, keeps his eyes centered on it. And so he has a dim view of those that touch Israel, the apple of his eye. And so we have this idea also in the scripture. We talked about it before on the radio about how, starting with the Genesis chapter 12, that God's promises to Abraham, which were reinforced to Jacob, and then also in Numbers when Balaam was given a prophecy over Israel, and all that basically comes to the idea that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And this is a man that clearly was cursing Israel, kind of like Haman. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And Chief among them was Mordecai, whom he hated. In fact, he wanted to destroy the Jewish people because Mordecai was a Jew. So he hated Haman Haman hated Mordecai so much that he wanted to destroy not only Mordecai, but all of his people, not knowing, of course, that Queen Esther was Jewish. And so the end result of that, if you read the book of Esther, is that Haman was hung on his own gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And so we look at this and we understand how God is protective of Israel. He's protective of the Jewish people. Say, well, wait a minute. Why have all these terrible things happened to the Jewish people in the past, such as the Holocaust in Germany and the Nazis when they were trying to exterminate the Jews from Europe and then planned to go on to do it elsewhere, down the Middle East and in Africa and elsewhere? Well, you know, it's because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But I'll tell you what. What happened to Hitler and the people who masterminded the Holocaust? Hitler committed suicide, and Germany was destroyed or defeated and was a divided country for quite some time, and many things that took place. And you can see this over and over, God blessing those that bless Israel, cursing those that curse Israel. This story of Belshazzar and also Haman in the book of Esther, this is something that we need to keep in mind. We see what happened to the president of Iran. Do I know how his helicopter went down? I really don't know, except that I do know this. God allowed it to happen, and it may well be. I saw a picture, a meme, where they had the hand of God coming out of a cloud pushing down on the helicopter, and it may well be that just as God orchestrated events so that Belshazzar was killed that very night, as the Medes and the Persians stormed into the city and conquered the city and destroyed destroyed Babylon and King Belshazzar. Well, what is happening in the world today? Well, the idea of King Raisi President Raisi being killed, this is a game changer. Unfortunately, our own country was working behind the scenes with Iran and Raisi in some activities with regards to Israel. And some of these things are coming forward in the fact that, have you seen the pictures of the tunnels in Rafah? Remember, Biden administration was doing everything they could to keep Israel from going into Rafah and to quit and not go into Rafah, allow Rafah to stand. Don't touch Rafah. Don't go into Rafah, and withholding arms shipments and all kind of intelligence and all kinds of things. And the Egyptians were against Israel going into Rafah. Do you know what they found in Rafah? They found tunnels. You say, well, what's new about that? Well, I've seen pictures of the tunnels. Yeah, most of the pictures you saw of the tunnels, they were tunnels that a few people could walk through. They had tunnels going from Rafah into Egypt that the Egyptian military apparently knew about, and we must know about as well. They had tunnels big enough that trucks could go through, like the size of a highway. You could run a couple trucks, you know, going one in each direction through these tunnels. And yet, above ground, they had one of the most fortified borders in the world, but yet Hamas was going back and forth. Why did they build tunnels, plural, big enough to run trucks back and forth at the same time into Egypt? Yeah, something's going on over there that the Biden administration didn't want Israel to know about, or maybe I should put it this way, that they didn't want the world to know about. And in the midst of all of this, God either orchestrates or allows the president of Iran to die. Well, I don't think it's just coincidental. I think God did have something to do with it. And we have a guy here in his arrogance and his hatred of the Jewish people, his hatred of Israel. He was actively working for the destruction of Israel, and God said enough. And he's gone. He's gone. That ought to be a warning to our country. That ought to be a warning to people who are anti-Semitic. I've known some people who've become horribly anti-Semitic, that hate, not just dislike, but hate Israel and the Jewish people. You know, If that's you, you need to consider what happened to the president of Iran. You need to consider what happened to Belshazzar. You need to consider what happened to Haman. You need to consider what happened to Hitler and the German people. God takes a dim view of those that touch the apple of his eye. Does that mean that all Jewish people are going to heaven? No, they need this. They need a Savior just like you and I do. And speaking of that, I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the key. We need to know Christ as our Savior, and time is running short. I want to thank you for listening today. Stay tuned. Pastor Rusnacko is coming up next. God bless. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.